Hi, everybody. Hey, welcome. I am Dee Dee McGuire, host of Dee Dee in the Morning, a nationally syndicated show based in Dallas, Texas. Now heard in about 87 cities, and you can clap it up. The splattering of claps would help me. The splattering of claps would definitely help me. But anyway, we welcome you, of course, to expanding your reach from local to national syndication on behalf of Compass Media Networks and Service Broadcasting. We appreciate you being here, certainly in South by Southwest. Clap it up for South by Southwest, though. Come on now. I do love the splattering, as I said, of the few. It must be a little too early for all of us. Hey, listen, here's the deal. I'm going to introduce some people, and they're going to come up here, and you guys are going to learn about this radio game. And when I tell you it's a lot of fun, let me tell you to come up here. Shaboy, where are you? Won't you come on up here and let everybody know who you are?
Thank you very much. Come on.
What do you want to set up?
Right here. You sit right here. All right, this next woman, and she's going to tell you, they're all going to tell you about themselves, but as I introduce them, they're going to tell you about themselves. Come on, Dana, make your way up here.
Let's go, Dana.
I have coffee breath. I'm trying not to, breathe on her. I know it. All right. And this man right here, he is, amazing, a newlywed. Please welcome Mr. Tino Cacino.
Let's go. It's amazing that you're having your honeymoon here at South by Southwest, man. Thanks.
I know, right?
I think I dropped my mic.
Did you?
All right. There we go.
So let's talk, first of all. The first thing I want you to do is, Shaboy, why don't you tell everybody who you are? As they say, give your elevator pitch on who you are and how you got to national syndication and radio.
Yeah. Thank you, Dee Dee. Good morning to everybody. So real quick, I was born in Mexico, immigrated when I was 5. To Southern California.
Que viva!
Que viva Mexico. Yeah. It's like the same promise, you know? It's like, hey, mijo, we're going to go to L.A. because you're going to go meet Mickey Mouse. Yeah, but anyways, did that. And then I got into radio, doing Spanish radio in San Francisco. But I started off putting stickers on cars and so on and so forth. And then from San Francisco, I went to Dallas, Texas. I did Spanish radio there for 5 years. And then I got the opportunity to cross over into English radio, and I got to host a morning show in New York City for 3 years. Ooh. And yeah, it was a blessing. First Mexican-born morning radio show host in NYC in English, and then came back home to LA and did morning radio there. And then pandemic happens, all this craziness is going on, and at that moment in time, it's like, all right, there was no jobs for many people because of the pandemic, and it's one of those situations of, hey, if there is no seat at the table for you, then go build a table, right? And that's when it was the vision of, and I'm sure many of you have a vision of what you want to do, right? Or maybe you've seen it, or maybe you haven't, and you want to create something new. And for me is, I was doing Spanish radio, and then I did English radio, and I was like, what if I could do both? What if I could bring both of my worlds together? This awesome experience of being bilingual, bicultural, and that's what we did. We created the Shaboy Show 2 years ago, and we started off in 3 markets. Now we're in 26 cities across the nation, and it's the only bilingual, bicultural radio show on the radio right now across the nation.
I love that. You got to clap it up for that.
Thank you.
This is why we're here, to learn how that happened, right? Dana Cortez, let's talk to you about your show and how you went from local radio to national. How?
I started out in a small market, Midland, Odessa, Texas, which we are back on. It's my first radio station, and we're syndicated right back there. And we're in a lot of great markets, but for some reason, that just felt so good because it was my first station. To be honest, we were approached, and it just happened. Everything in my career just kind of happened. I was a young mom. I always like to mention that because sometimes you have obstacles in front of you, and having a child of 15 was definitely an obstacle I placed in front of myself, but she was also a blessing. It taught me to work very hard, and it taught me discipline. And so every time I make my way onto one rung of the ladder, I'm looking for the next. When we were approached to syndicate, I said yes. And I never looked back. We started out as well with about 3 stations. We're in 25 markets now, including Houston, San Antonio, Sacramento, Denver, some of the larger markets. We need Dallas. Dee, do you know somebody? Gio, where y'all at? But I just wanted to say that as the first, I'm also Latina, I'm Mexican-American, soy Chicana, and as the first Mexican-American female to have a morning show host, I feel very proud of that. And I honor my culture every day, you know? I honor my culture. So that was it. We just made it happen.
I love that, right? She made it happen. All right, Tino Cacino, how'd you do it?
Hey, Chelsea, my wife's here, so you know. Newlywed vibes. Man, I got in this really young. I was 13 years old. I walked out of my junior high, and in the spot where my grandmother would pick me up every day, there was a radio station there, and it was the first hip-hop station in the market. And I was just like, what is this? And I didn't know where she was, and I was just kind of attracted to the energy. So I went and just posted up at the tent, and I stood there for maybe 30 minutes. Didn't even know she was next to us the entire time in the car. And I think for whatever reason, I didn't talk to anybody. I just kind of stood there and caught the vibe, and she saw something there. And so I remember I got in the car, and she switched it to that station, and we just started listening. Every time we heard they were going to be somewhere for a live remote, for whatever reason, in her, she was like, we're going to go, and let's check it out. And so we go, and she said, get off the car and go talk to him and build a relationship. And I wouldn't talk because I was so antisocial and just weird. And I would just stand there. And finally, after a couple of months, they were like, you're here all the time. If you're going to be here, we're going to teach you how to do something. So they had me blowing up balloons and putting bumper stickers on cars. And then that kind of became my creative outlet. And I did it for 3 years. I turned 16, got offered a night position, took that full time, was balancing, you know, high school and radio. And then about 19, moved from Lubbock, Texas, which is my hometown, to San Antonio. Went out there and killed it for a couple of years. Station flip formats. I was 22 with no savings, had no idea what to do. Started trying to club promote. And then my program director at the time ended up getting a gig with legendary 3-6 Mafia. I was like, look, I'm moving to LA. You should just come and DJ with us on the road. And I said, okay. I had no baggage, so I packed up a U-Haul. We went to LA, and I slept on couches for a few years. And, you know, LA is one of the most expensive places to be. Couldn't afford anything. And finally, I was like, I've never done anything outside of radio. I don't know what to do. There was a Costco across the street from the place I was staying. I was like, I guess I got to go to Costco. And I'm trying to hype myself up. Like, well, you know, I'll get discounts on food, and this will make sense. And then the day I was going to go apply, I got a call from a station in Bakersfield, California. They gave me a position to go do nights. I went out there. That's kind of where my footprint in California began, made a ton of connections, ended up moving to Phoenix, Arizona 4 years after that with my former program director, Mikey. Thank you for the shot, for the opportunity. And then we, you know, after a few years, we went from nights to afternoons to mornings, number one consecutively in every, you know, position. And finally, we were like, we got something here. We decided to syndicate. The company didn't believe in it. And then once it started popping, we got to about 15 cities on our own. Then they wanted to come in and take, you know, half of the cut. And we're like, this makes no sense. So this corporate structure isn't really for us. We stepped away from that, partnered together, and now we're 70 plus cities all over the country, partnerships with every radio company in the country, and we 100% own everything.
Wow, that's great. Congrats on that, right? Woo! Clap that up. That's great. So what makes, you know, we're in 2024. There's a lot of podcasts out there, and we were just talking about it, a lot of podcasts that are doing a lot of things that we've been doing in radio for years. And with that almost being your competition in a way, what makes a great morning show in 2024?
Man, I saw that question because Dee Dee's thorough. Her team is amazing, and they sent us the questions in advance. I think it's a multitude of things, right? The ability to talk to people every day it drives a connection. That has always been the case with radio. And social media is important, all of that, you know, Facebook, and we all utilize that. But there's something about radio that creates this very special relationship with people, a connection, a community of people is what I feel. I think sometimes we say local. I don't like that word local because I don't know anybody wants to be the local band or the local. It's about community. And we share so many similarities with other people outside of our own cultures. Outside, we're all trying to make a living. We all want the best for our children. We all want to advance. And radio in 2024 is no different than it was, except that social media adds, I think, some value. We can connect with people, show them what we're doing, and then still bring that to the radio. It's so amazing to get that call. I love you. You mean something to me. I felt that. Remember when we were talking about this? There's just something about that.
When it comes to podcasting, I think it's the best time, excuse me, for radio too, because for radio, in order to be on a radio, you have to have a little narcissist to you to think people want to hear what I have to say. And I feel like that's okay. But we've been telling, you know, program directors and stations for the longest, they tune in, they want to hear what we have to say. It's not just the music, it's us. And now we're at a point where it couldn't be more true, because you can get music anywhere at any given time. So now you know that people want that connection that Dana was talking about. And so if they're going to podcast for it, the radio stations, since music is accessible anywhere, these radio stations need to believe in the personalities and see that putting a strong show together, people want to come hear that talk. They want to come hear the conversation. They want to be a part of it. They want to feel like they're in the car with their friends. And again, it just kind of goes, you know, hand in hand. People go into the podcast for that. They can come to the radio for that as well.
So because of it, let me ask you guys this question. Because podcasting is so popular, a lot of people are listening, and it's long form to a certain extent. Are your breaks, Chiboy, what about you? Your breaks on the morning radio, are they as long as you would get on a podcast? Are they short? I mean, have you altered it a little bit?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the way I've established the show, just because the kind of radio that we're doing, this bicultural, bilingual vibe, is really a mixture of reggaeton and the new wave of Mexican music, and with an English-dominant presentation, per se. So what I tell our team is, our breaks, our segments are basically as long as a song, and we got to be as good or better than a song, right? Because if you're coming to us, part of the lifestyle of living this bicultural lifestyle is the music. So the way we envision ourselves, our show is, we're hanging out at a house party. What's on in the background? Your favorite songs, right? And in between, you're having these cool conversations with your friends. So that's really what the premise of our show is we're at a house party, playing your favorite songs, our favorite songs, and having real life conversations and connecting with you. What's different than podcasting is we're connecting with our listener every day, right? Monday through Friday, you have a daily, new, fresh connection, content, where podcasts usually, I mean, there might be some daily ones, right? Or, I mean, I know they are, but more like news driven, right. But more conversational or lifestyle, they're like weekly, right? And because of podcasting, we'll have a conversation on the air, and we're like, all right, literally just happened. Our social media director and our producer, they're dating. We were on the show live, and they got into it. Ooh. But it was like, this conversation needed like 20 minutes at least. So we literally were live on the air, and we're like, all right, tune into our after party episode today on our podcast. We're going to continue this conversation on our digital on demand. Right? So we're using it to our advantage. We don't see podcasting or social media as our competition per se, although it is demanding your attention, right? Away from radio. But we're using it to our advantage to be where our listeners are at and meeting them there. Okay. And you best believe, and it was so interesting because as our listeners started hearing that podcast episode, you started seeing the DMs coming in, like whose side they were on about this fight and so on and so forth. So
that's interesting because I was getting ready to get into that about video because Tino, Cachino, your show, you guys do a very good job. I noticed that video and everything. How important is that, do you think it is, in terms of videos for the show's brand? And is it a must or is it just a luxury?
I mean, we're at a point now, video's a must. I definitely think it's a must. You know, I mean, your biggest competition, I don't think, is podcasting. It's TikTok, it's Instagram, it's social media. That's where everybody's at. I think that's why our show has connected so well over the years, and I think why initially we were able to launch and pick up 15 cities on our own before partnering with anybody, because we didn't just offer on air, we offered online. Yeah. And especially when it comes to syndication, these companies are coming to you to fill a void, to help them with something that they need. If you can approach them and say, hey, not only are we going to get you on air, but we're going to take care of the online too, don't even worry about it. Why would they not come to you? It's just everyone is online at any given time, and that's always kind of been our mission, on air and online. If you miss a show today, it's all good. You're going to see it. And it's crazy because so many times, I mean, literally throughout the week, we have people come up, hey, I saw the show today. Yo, I saw the show. It was great. They didn't listen. They saw it. And I just, at this point, you have to do it. If you're not, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Go ahead.
And I just want to add to that because video is a must for us as well. We have a daily highlight of something that happened on the show, on TikTok, on Reels, and so on and so forth. And what's dope about that is that, you know, I'll be in a city where we're not heard on radio there, but people may say, yo, I follow you guys on TikTok or Instagram. And then that leads them into our podcast. So it's really dope how it all kind of comes together because of the video component.
Well, if you can have it, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's very important. And also remember, for me, radio is always first. It is always 100%. My first 100%. That's what pays the bills. Video is a must, but it's also a luxury. There are people that can't afford, you know, young networks or local programming that can't afford it. And you can also, let me tell you, I've got a good friend of mine who has about 1 million followers on TikTok, does Morning Drive. Not always are the ratings there. Social media likes and video presence doesn't necessarily transfer to ratings on the radio. Two very different things. So we have to be careful in our business to remember that, because what drives money, because we're all here, I said we want to pay our bills, feed our kids. What drives money in radio is ratings, because advertisers want that. So you have to balance very well. We want to use radio, we want to use our social media to drive people back to listen to us on the radio. But we'd be idiots to think they're just always going to wait. No, you want that on demand. But in the end, what you see on TikTok, somebody might have 1.5 million followers and they got a radio show and they might not be top 10 in their market. So it's a very, very delicate balance
I just wanted to touch on it real quick, because for us, like, again, the social media game is so important. And so as much as I understand to budgets and these companies, at the same time, where there's a will, there's a way. And bro, you all have a camera in your pocket right now. I see them all out. At the end of the day, you can create this content if you want to put that grind into it. I mean, for us, perfect example, we're in 70 cities. We own all of this, but I film the videos. I edit the videos because I want to get it done. I've had a video guy, and he'll do it, but it's tough to, you know, he's out doing speed racing in Mexico and filming out of helicopters and doing all this crazy IMAX shit. And so I could have waited for him to come back or not, and we jump in, and Mikey literally gets a switcher on the iPad, and this is my business partner. He's the one locking in cities and stuff, but he's on an iPad switching and going camera to camera, and I'm over here editing. I mean, it's just so important. I just want to say, like, don't let the money be an issue when it comes to that, because if you want to be seen, radio is what it is, and we love it, but at the end of the day, social is also where it is and where it's at, and you want, if you get one clip that goes viral and people like that, and they click that link in the bio, they can come stream you, and they can come find you, and it can lead to a new listener. And especially like at iHeart, because we have a bunch of iHeart stations. Excuse me, they're always talking about link in bio. Give them to listen live. Tell them to listen live, and it almost means more to them, because if they listen live on the stream, your ratings count more than actual people tuning into the radio. So I don't know. It's very important.
Yeah. Come on, Chaboy, what are you gonna say?
It. Yeah, literally, the way we film our show is everybody pulls out their iPhone. We have a tripod in front of us. And everybody hits record. Yep. And then at the end of the show, we talk about, yo, what would be some good stuff for a highlight for video. And that gets chosen as a team. It gets cut up real quick. And it's done. And I just want to ask, because I want to make sure this is helpful for you guys as well. Raise your hand if you're interested in going into radio. Okay. Raise your hand if you're interested in podcasting. Wow. Okay. This is cool.
And why do you say that? Why? Tell me why.
Well, because I want to make sure that we're speaking to your needs, right? You guys are here for a reason, and we want to help you definitely get something out of this, right? And look, you have access to us, which independently have driven through many barriers, many no's, many educating people, higher ups on what you're trying to do. And we just want to give you guys something that
works.
And
I agree with that, because that's the reason why I was asking comparisons of radio and podcasting, because I know a lot of people are interested in podcasts, because a lot of people want to, I don't know if it's about, you know, you think that it's, are you going to make money in it? Is it going to go next to radio? You get what I'm saying? Because we do need to talk about that, because a lot of people think that, and a lot of people will start a podcast, we look at statistics, you'll start it, and when you realize, oh, I'm not getting the traction, or I'm not getting the money, everybody wants to be, who is it, Rogan? Everybody wants to be him. Everybody wants to have.
I want to be Joe Rogan.
Right. Everybody wants to be him, right?
Juanita Rogan.
Juanita Rogan. And there's, I think it was 2.5 million podcasts, and about 20 are making money. So it's very hard, because there's on demand. We just talked about it. There's everything. There's a podcast for a dentist that only performs surgery on the left molar. Like, there's something for everyone, you know? So it's hard to cut through. And I think that's why I say it's a slippery slope. It is a you can't be everything to everyone. And we talked about our podcast, and we do a podcast. I do a podcast. And we get, you know, since my husband, we're talking about partners. My husband is my executive producer. Since he took over, I feel like we're doing better. But it's still, we do everything. Edit videos, write the show. You know, I'm editing daily. I answer the phones. I am that crazy. I'm like, nobody's going to answer my phones. I am, you know. I'm answering the phones. So we do everything from the bottom up. So it's tough.
Well, let me just say, I think that because Shaboy is really right when we ask you, when he is asking you who is interested in podcasting and who's interested in radio, because also the other part of this is if you're really good at podcasting, my boss is here, and he'll tell you the truth. I mean, the person who was on our show, she was a social media star. We're looking for, radio is looking for these stars, right? And if podcasting can help you develop and you become a star, and truthfully, as we talk about this panel going from local to national, it's pretty much what we're saying, going from podcasting to radio and really yes. getting paid, right? Because you could start a podcast tomorrow and do it for a year, and you may not get the money that you're going to make in radio. But if you've developed that podcast, and you've got a following, and you've learned the trade of how to talk in radio and do this, then you transfer it to radio. Because here's the thing. Would you say, everybody, is there a difference of getting paid locally and being paid as a syndicated personality?
Syndicated. What
is
the?
Let's talk about that difference of pay scale, because that also is why some people are looking at podcasting, right?
Right.
For the money.
There's a big difference, especially when you own everything, like Tino said. You know, yep. I'm proud of that. There was a question on there. What's the positives? The positives is we own 100% of everything. My likeness, the name, everything. Everything that we have produced for the past 5 years, if something happens, it's still ours. We take it with us. Yep. What's a negative? We own everything. We are responsible for everything. We are responsible for every piece of content. If something goes wrong, that's on us. You know, that's on us as well. But, I mean, creating this is amazing to me. I love it. If you want to get into radio and podcasting, you probably love it. You probably love connecting with people. So for getting paid for me, my first job, I mean, I don't even want to say what I made. I thought I was rich. I think I was making like $14,000 a year. I was like, damn, I made it. I am rich, you know, I swear, because I just couldn't believe that I was getting paid to talk. How is this happening? And I hustled into a career. And, yes, it's different when you get on this platform, but it is not easy to get here. It took years and years of hard work and grinding and sacrifice and having children when I was a single mother. It is not easy. We are all up here still working. Dee Dee just talked about the amount of travel she's been doing in just the past 5 days, and she showed up. So you get to see all these slick videos and everybody's looking good, but there's a lot of concealer going on there to hide what's happening behind the scenes, you know? So that's what I want to say. Everything is hard work. Nobody starts at the top in any business. Radio, Costco, whatever you're trying to do, you start here and you climb your way up.
It is a window, too, just to kind of tie them together, because radio is looking for the talent, mm-hmm. and the talent's looking to build a podcast. Right. So, like, for us, you know, a weekly, you know, stream, let's say, just like on a radio, we have about 7.1 million people that listen, right? And so I have a mental health podcast that I'm very passionate about. You know, I went through a crazy time, and I hit, like, my lowest point, and I started recapping therapy sessions just for myself. And as it started to give me some sense of healing, I was like, I think someone else can connect to this. And so I was able to immediately go on the radio and talk to this following that we have about it. It was instant promotion for this podcast. And it's crazy because we'll have weeks where we don't promote the mental health podcast, and it gets more streams than the actual show. And that was because we were able to jump on and actually just talk about it. So that's the beautiful thing about it. So if you are just looking into podcasting, consider radio too, just because it's a fun environment and it's an industry that we're trying to, quote unquote, bring the cool back to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Tino makes a good point there. And if you could take a nugget away for those of you that want to go into podcasting, don't skip out on the opportunity that FM radio gives you. The way I see FM is free marketing.
Agreed.
Oh, damn.
Let that.
Gems.
I'm gonna steal that.
Me too.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. And thankfully, because we're independently owned and we control our content, we can plug our stuff as much as we want.
That's right.
On FM, free marketing. Right. So those of you that are interested in podcasting, do not shoo away because maybe radio is not quote unquote sexy anymore or whatever. Sometimes you don't want to get married to the sexy. You want to get married to the one that's going to last long, the ones you can still have conversations with when the looks are gone. You know what I'm saying? So you don't have to choose one or the other. Like, it's a really cool marriage if you bring radio and podcasting together. And I'm telling you, radio is looking for talent desperately because of that perception that radio is not sexy anymore.
So we have a lot of new interns in our building. We just hired somebody. He's young, he's hungry, he's smart. His name is Chewy, and he's a great guy, Jesus Ortiz. I want to shout him out real quick. And he loves radio. And the reason is, he said, because I've been listening to so many sucky podcasts. And then I listen to radio, and it is so much better. That's the reason I think radio is sexy again. I think she's back. I'm not kidding. I have not seen this much action from college-age people in a long time. It's like almost a turn. And I think podcasting is the reason, because there are 2.5 million podcasts. Just listen to 10 obscure podcasts today, and you're going to go, ah. Radio, you have to know how to communicate. You can learn through podcasting, but nothing's going to teach you more than being inside a studio with Didi, with Shaboy and myself, with Tina, with anybody in your local town, in your local city, wherever you're from, than watching what they do. And you'll be amazed. Now it comes to me very naturally. I don't know why somebody kept me. I remember getting on the mic saying, I can't do this live on the radio. I don't know why they kept my, you know, so they must have seen something I didn't see.
Let me ask you guys this question, because you talked about something and knowing that a lot of people would love to have a podcast and certainly have a successful one that makes a lot of money. Tell you guys kind of tapped on or kind of said something, and I think that if you have a podcast and you have an idea, you guys said something that was very smart, and I think you should explain this to them, and that is this. If you have a great title of your podcast, do you trademark it? What else do you do? I mean, how did you become from local to syndication to owning it, and what are those steps? Because if somebody has a great idea for a podcast, I would say this. Yeah, go trademark the name. Yeah. Start getting the merchandise. Yeah. Like, what else do they need to do?
Yeah, crazy story, quick. So I have the name Shaboy, right? Which originally is not like Showboy, like it's Shaboy, like your boy, like Jay-Z, right? Shaboy, yeah. So I transferred companies from San Francisco. I was working for one company, and then I got a morning show in Dallas for a different company that was CBS Radio. And I was going to be competing against the company I used to be with in San Francisco. So this other company starts sending letters from lawyers that I can't use my name. And they literally changed one of their radio hosts' names to Shaboy.
Wow. Damn.
And because they wanted to stop me. This is before I got on air, right? But they knew I was going to start there. So they were trying to block me with sales, with everything. So thankfully, I had stuff from high school when I used to DJ and MC at pep rallies, where it's like in newspapers and whatever, the school newspaper, Shaboy Edgar, Shaboy Edgar. And all that help, but getting your website immediately, I mean, now it's super easy, right? Like, whatever the name is, first thing you should do is a website available, right? And definitely go after that and trademark and so on and so forth. Long story short, they eventually backed down because they had nothing mm-hmm. on that, and then we continued on. But that's very important. Like, definitely look at that. And I want to make another point before I skip out, because I know a lot of you guys are looking into podcasting, and let me just say this, okay? My podcast is not necessarily super crazy successful, but it's not bad. We get around 100,000 downloads a month on average. That's very challenging to get, but we're there. And let me just tell you this. It's not enough money to make a good living.
At all.
With 100,000 downloads.
That hurts.
But it's true.
I'm not trying to burst your bubble. I'm just being real. Now, the other thing, you got to connect to companies to have the dynamic insertion of spots into your podcast. You ever listen to a podcast and there's commercials in the beginning, in the middle, and then at the end? So there's three big companies that give those commercials. You have iHeart, you have Pandora, SiriusXM, and then Spotify. They feed into that. You got to find out a way to tap into that. And then there's podcast companies that do that. I'm just giving you a snapshot. Like, it's cool money. Like, I'm not mad at it. But it's not where you're going to be like, oh, I'm living the life. You need to go up to like a million, 500,000 to a million downloads a month.
And you're still just not killing it then.
So just,
I mean, it's,
just
yeah,
know that.
It's
not to burst your bubble. That could be a part of
but
your plan.
But that's just a reality. It's good that you said that, because I think Didi and I were having this conversation walking up here talking about the podcasting and the on-demand and, of course, wanting to be there. But the challenges of making to monetize it is just real. It's just hard, because how do you go from 100,000 to 1.5 million, you know? And because when you're doing radio, we're being funny all morning. A podcast, it's one time a week. You know, we're doing it 6 hours a day, all morning long. So we're talking about a multitude of things. A podcast is usually focused on one thing. Like Tino said, the mental health, that was one thing. So there's going to be people that are trying to talk about this or trying to, you know, relate to that are going to listen to because of mental health. But when you're talking about life and this and gossip and whatever, the podcast is kind of everywhere because the show is about life daily. Yeah. It's not one-dimensional. So that's why it makes it a little more difficult.
Well, let me ask Tino something then, because here's the other part about podcasting and where the money comes in. And guess where it comes in? At events, live events. If you take your podcast on the road or you take it out live, have you done that with yours and do you make money with it?
Yeah, we usually do it once a quarter. We try to do like a live podcast, and that's the thing, we sell it. And so like the last one we did was at a bowling alley in downtown Phoenix. So everyone gets to come out, you attach a sponsor to it. And then depending on if it's 21 and up, you can get, you know, liquor companies involved. The station can make some money, which obviously they love. You get your money and then the listeners get an experience. And then depending on like when we do it, we'll set it up to where we do exclusive merch for that event, for the show, tie it into the, you know, business wherever we're at. So everyone that comes in, they get merch for it. It's like a once in a lifetime pop-up event, but it's an experience. And I think that's what everyone is looking for at the end of the day, whether you tune into the radio, whether it's on air, whether it's going to an event, you just want an experience. You're going to remember how you felt.
So as we talk about, again, going from local to national, and again, there's a difference in pay. I was asking you guys, yes, okay, right? But when you did it, when you were able to do it, what are some steps? Give me three steps, Tino, that you did or three things that happened that really you said, was this a vision? I guess I should say, did you have that vision, and what were those three steps, I should say?
I was just moving, and I found the first check that I got from a syndication on our own. It was $315. And I was like, oh, that's so crazy. I remember, I want to frame it. Yeah, I want to.
You frame that, yeah.
And, you know, when I look at from then with 13 stations or whatever to now 70 plus, it's crazy. And, I mean, as far as steps go, I mean, it's just, for us, it was just betting on ourselves. You know, the company, every time we'd get ratings or whatever's coming in, we go and we have that conversation. I was like, oh, yeah, but, you know, the way the economy is right now, it's always that conversation or whatever it may be. But then when you have a sales meeting, they're like, guys, we did it, 20 million this month. And it's like, so I can't get 15 grand, but you're telling me you just made 20 million in a month, and it's we decided to finally just back away from that and just bet on ourselves. That's the only thing that even comes to mind. I don't know if I can give you three. The biggest thing was just bet on yourself and put everything into it, because there's never been a plan B. It was always just, this is gonna work and we're gonna find a way. And I feel like when you set up that plan B, you already have an exit plan. You already think you're gonna fail, and we just, it's for anything. I think that's for music, that's for stepping out on your own in anything. If you just fully go in on it and bet on yourself, you won't allow yourself to lose.
What about you, Dana? Is there anything you can think of, any steps? Because and the reason why I say this is that, you know, when I first got started in radio, I looked up and I watched Tom Joyner, and I saw Russ Parr, I saw Elvis Duran out of New York. I see all these guys, right? And they're all syndicated. And I remember going, I want to be like them. Like, I started in Killeen, Fort Hood. That's where I started my radio. Mm-hmm. If anybody's from Austin, you know it's right down the road anyway. So I started there, and I remember looking at a big map of the United States. It was Arbitron, where, you know, radio gets rated. And there was this big old map, and that map, I was in a blue market. That meant you were like market 100 and something.
Yeah.
And the top 10 markets you would see, some would be like in red and the orange and all this stuff. And I remember looking, going, I'm going to be in a top 10 market,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I remember saying, this was my goal, was to be in a top 10 market, because I was in market 190 and 183 or whatever. So I said, well, I got to get to this market to get to a top 10 market. And that would be Chicago, New York, LA, Houston. You know, we're going to talk about all these big cities. So I was like, I'm going to go to a medium. So I'm going to go to San Antonio. So that was what I did. I said, I'm going to go to San Antonio. Then I was like, okay, now I got to San Antonio for a year. Now I'm going to go to Dallas for a year, right, or two. And then I was like, I did this. And I was like, okay, I see syndication. Then I'm going to be somebody's co-host. And then I was like, oh, now I'm somebody's co-host on a nationally syndicated show. Well, then now I'm going to get my own.
Yeah.
Right? So I had these steps, and I also believe in vision boards, just so we're clear. I believe in vision boards. I believe in writing it down. I believe in a five-year plan. I have a five-year plan for my life right now. I have a five-year plan for the show. I have a five-year, you get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, so there are steps in my mind. There's always going to be some kind of step that I've got to take. So that's what I was saying, because when I was local, I had dreams. I knew I wasn't going to stay in Killeen, Fort Hood. It just wasn't going to happen.
I wish I could say as poetically that that's the way I planned my life, but it wasn't. I being young and being a single, you know, being a teen mother, it was always about just trying to make more money to survive, really. And, you know, I hate to say this because I feel like I'm a really strong woman now, but I wasn't always. And so when I met Automatic, he believed in me more than I believed in myself. It was not, like, he's looking at, it was not the Dana Cortez show. It was the house party. And he said, no, when we're out, people want to meet you. People want to talk to you. It takes a strong man to uplift a woman like that. And he made me stronger. And I was just in really bad relationships. I didn't have a successful relationship in my family to look toward. And so he named it the Dana Cortez Show. We got a lawyer. That was one of the first steps. And we pulled up with receipts and we started reaching out to people. The first person that approached us, our company, and I'm not going to say any names because we do partner with them again, said, we'll do it on our own. And they didn't. So we had another company reach out. And then they said, okay, we want 90% of the deal. And I said, you can't have 90% of the deal. We're bringing you. And I was so afraid. And he said, if you're not afraid, it's just not it's not worth doing. So we walked away with three little stations. And now we're back in with that company that said no. And it has always been just doing things that might make you a little afraid and having a team around me that makes me stronger. Oh, I wish I could say I was as strong as Didi, but I feel good now, but that wasn't always the case for me. But if it doesn't make you a little nervous, I don't think it's worth it.
Shaboy?
Yeah, I think from what you could see here, we all have people around us that at times believe in us more than we believe or encourage us through those difficult times. I have my wife and my two amazing daughters. I'm a girl dad. And Didi, you found an amazing partner in Gio, Tino, and Mikey, now your wife with Automatic, and the rest of our team, right? I've surrounded myself with the team right now, Eddie, Kim, and Vanessa that are on the show with us. We're passionate about this, guys. Like, we come in, we have to be. We're getting up at 3 a.m, right? So you better love it. And and we're doing life together, and we're having fun. You know, that's the other thing. It's like we're really enjoying it. And, you know, what I would say if you do want to go to the syndication, going back to the title of this panel, if you will, is you got to win somewhere first.
Yes.
Just get your first win. That's great to have a five-year vision. Yes, I'm a believer. My wife and I have things written up in our bathroom. You know, Bible scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. Do not be afraid, etc. You know, all of it. And then also goals. But just win at one thing. I think especially I see a lot of super young people here. You're getting pulled in so many different directions right now. Mm-hmm. From family, friends. Sometimes, like, the people closest to you are like, you're crazy trying to go into that. I was graduating from my master's degree. I studied psychology, got a master's in leadership. And I got
and
a job
your
offer.
Like, no, ¿qué vas a hacer, mijo?
Yes, I got a job offer from Target, Target Corporate, right? I was 22 graduating, 24 graduating from my master's in leadership. Target came to me, is offering me like an $80,000 job.
At 24.
And everybody was celebrating, right? Like, first one to go to college, immigrant, all the above. And remember, I got my side gig. I had two jobs at the time and getting my master's, and one of them was putting stickers on cars at the radio station. And then they're like, what are you going to do, mijo? You're taking the job at Target, right? And I'm like, nah, you know, I just feel like doors are opening up in radio. And they laughed. They're like, nah, for real, though. Like, and I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, I'm really good at putting stickers on cars. One-handed, no bubbles. If you that's hard.
Like, that's hard. I love
that's
it.
That's hard. And then bumpers are dirty. Like, you know, you got to clean it with the sleeve. You remember those days.
That's how it all began.
Yeah, but Didi, think about this.
You just got to get that first win.
Think about this. You every time we speak or we have one of these panels, you're so strong about it. You're not afraid to ask for your worth, right? That's the biggest thing right there, right? What is your value? You have the receipts. What is your value? That's the most important thing. Syndication does pay better than local. But it was not easy to get here.
Okay, let's be real too, okay? About syndication and about going from local to national, let's talk about podcasting that people said they're interested in. One of the things that is engaging and what you have to have is an engaging personality. How do you develop personality for radio, podcasting, whatever it is? How do you develop that? How did you guys develop your personality, or did it have to develop? Did you have to pull, like, is that something you can do, is develop a personality? Tell me.
You can develop it, but it just takes so much time. And I mean, that's one thing that I definitely give my business partner, Mikey, credit for, because, you know, I never, when I got into it, I never wanted to be a leader. I never, it was just a me thing. And as we've grown into it, I see that I have to do that. And what I'm trying to, what I take from him, oh, I'm the worst. But what I take from Mikey is he knows how to sit down. He can sit down with anybody in here right now and connect with you on your level versus just trying to teach you one thing one way. And for me, it's tough because everything I've learned, I just learned by watching. I'll sit there and I'll figure it out. Okay, this is how you DJ. No, I'll mess with the crossfader. I'll figure it out on my own and I'll just mess up. Same thing for editing video or whatever. I didn't know what to do. I bought a computer and downloaded Final Cut and figured it out. And so it's tough for me to do that. But my point is, I feel like it's so important. For us, it's about building the connection off air. You know, we do team building exercises where we just go out and hang out or whatever. Or like right now, my wife and I are talking about doing double dates with a team and their partners and just to build outside of work. I feel like that, I want to know what makes you laugh, cry. I got to know how to hit every button and vice versa. We have to know that nothing is off limits. And if there is something off limits, we have this thing called the box. And we're like, yo, okay, so this happened, but I'm just telling you, put it in a box. And then we know, don't bring that shit up.
Don't bring it up.
But I just think, The biggest thing is just building a connection off the air. That way, on air, it's effortless.
Okay. What do you think, Dana? Can you develop personality? If somebody says, hey, I want to do this, can you develop?
God, that's such a tough answer. It's a tough question because it's a hard answer. You can't create interesting. You either are or you aren't. That doesn't mean you're not valuable. You ever listen to Howard Stern? I'm not a big fan of his show, but I'm a big fan of his formatics, the way he puts his show together. There's some people in there that will say one word, and they're not interesting, but they're funny, and the way they're utilized, it matters to his show. And so you can develop people, and you can utilize every person to the best of their ability. You know, there is, I believe, genius in simplicity. But in the end, you can't teach interesting. We just took some improv classes with one of the greatest improv teachers in the country. He works with SNL. He's overseas right now. And it was great. It really taught us a lot. But in the end, you know, it's not only on the mic. And I say that because of what Shaboy just said. You know, sometimes you may not be the person that, maybe the mic isn't for you. That's okay. There's a multitude of teamwork that goes on to make all of this happen. It doesn't mean that that's not going to be, you're not going to work in this industry. It just means that maybe this isn't for you. It's hard to say that, right? It's hard to say that, but it's true.
Just to kind of piggyback what Dana's saying real quick, too, I think a good example is think of any of your favorite TV shows. For me, it'd be a classic like Fresh Prince, right? You know it's the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You know this is a Will Smith show, but that show would not happen without Uncle Phil, without Carlton, without whoever. That entire show, it could be Friends, it could be New Girl, it could be whatever your favorite show is. That show, there's the star, there's the leader or whatever, but it would not happen without the cast and without the supporting roles. And I think the biggest thing, too, is just
and
to
the
make
writers,
sure everybody knows
and the
their
producers.
Role.
Yeah, exactly. 1,000%. There's
behind
a lot.
Behind the scenes, everything.
What do you think, Shaboy? You're going to say something?
Yeah. You got to be raw, you got to be authentic, you got to be vulnerable. And I think that's what we're all looking for, right? In the social media world, we're looking for real connection. And when people can hear that through your storytelling, the reason why Howard Stern is so successful, he's an amazing storyteller. The reason why these two ladies and Tino are so successful, because they're great storytellers. And they're authentic and they're genuine. And you were all uniquely made. So once you discover who you really are and you accept that, that's going to be your biggest competitive advantage in life, because there's literally nobody else like you. So the moment you guys can really grasp that and find out who am I, and it's okay to be me, and I'm going to go all in on that, build your storytelling. Of course, you can do improv classes, so on and so forth. I'm going to throw a crazy throwback here. Start writing. Not typing, writing, handwriting. Write out a story. And, you know, there's a beginning, there's a climax. How are you going to wrap it up? It's just really finding your voice. And how do you tell stories? How do you connect? And don't think because of podcast or radio. The biggest mistake you may have is that I want to connect with a million people. Nah. There's power in the word you. So you're not speaking to a million people or 100 people or however many people are here. I'm speaking to you. If I say y'all, you may think it's the person next to you. But when I say, you have a gift and you got to find that gift and share it with the world, you know I'm talking to you. Does that make sense? So once you figure that out, you don't have to be super flashy and grab everybody's attention. There's different personalities. And just how we have co-hosts and a team, it's for a reason, because my co-host Vanessa can connect with a certain aspect of our audience that I can't connect with at her level because of how she is. Does that make sense? But you're going to have your audience, and that's all that matters.
You know, it's interesting you would say that. You know, we played an interview this morning. There's an actress by the name of Jennifer Lewis. If you get a chance, I want you guys to look this up. She was on Good Morning America, and she had a near-death experience, and we just played it this morning. And the reason why I'm going to say this is that, you know, when we talk about morning radio, you talk about going from local to national, you talk about podcasting, what you guys really are saying when we say, you know how to tell a story, guess what we're saying also? Be descriptive. Paint a picture. You got to paint a picture, because think about it. Whether you're podcasting or on the radio, you're not looking at us necessarily. That's if, you know, we're not, if let's say you're driving and you don't have that video in front of you, but we're painting a picture, and you got to know how to paint a picture. And somebody told me that a long time ago, because I walked in and I was telling them I went to the club the night before, and I came in and I go, I know, I probably smell like smoke and I still have lipstick smeared across my face because, you know, I went out last night. I still have a sticker on my hand because last night it was such a party and it was such a vibe and it was blah, blah, blah. And I just start describing it. As if, you know, you guys didn't, I described it for almost every detail, and that's called painting a picture. And so you have to be a great storyteller, and be a great storyteller. You got to paint the picture in every small little crazy nuance that you think is crazy. The audience is going to eat it up and love it. You know, if I went in there, I said, oh, my God. And then I went in there and I lost my shoe. My damn, my thing fell off. My heel fell off. And I walked out and, you know, my toenail polish got all messed up. You know, I'm going to just describe the craziest thing that happened. And then I say, and then somebody was out there selling hot dogs on the side. And I got one of those. You know what I mean? Like, but you got to learn and know how to just paint that picture. Yeah.
And most important about painting a picture is you got to make people feel something. Right. Either laughter, make them feel happy. Angry works as well. You know how many people watch Fox News just because they want to be mad at them? You know how many people just watch CNN because they want to yell at the TV and tell them how wrong they are? So that works too. It's about engagement, right? What are you making people feel? And what is the takeaway that they're going to have with that interaction with you? Whether you're on the radio and you're talking for 30 seconds, 3 minutes, or on a podcast and talking for an hour, what are they going to walk away with?
Oh, you know what? You made me think about something, and somebody told me this a long time ago. So again, if you're thinking about this, you guys, I mean, you want to be an engaging personality. I remember saying something on the radio, and I told my program director, not Gio at the time, that's my program. By the way, he's over there. He's really wonderful. But anyway, here's the thing. The program director said to me, I go, oh, my God, they're going to hate me. I said something like, oh, my God, the whole audience is going to hate me. And he said, so what? At least they feel something for you. And he said this, either they're going to love you or they're going to hate you. It's up to you what you want, but they're going to love you or they're going to hate you. And then guess what some of them will do? Love to hate you. But either way it goes, they're going to listen. The one who loves to hate you, oh, my God, they're going to listen all the time and go, I hate her, but did you hear what she said?
Anything in between just doesn't matter.
Right, nice doesn't work.
It just doesn't matter.
Nice doesn't work. I can't stand nice.
You know, one of the words everybody uses is authentic. But you do want to be authentic, but you don't want to do things that are just to rile people up, or you don't want to talk about things that make you feel uncomfortable. I love that idea of putting don't talk about this in a hat or whatever. You got to be yourself, and there is only one you, but there are a lot of other people who have been through your circumstance that will be able to identify with that. That's why you have to be yourself.
Yep.
Don't fake the phone. Don't try to get on and be angry or pretend you're somebody on Fox or CNN or something just to rile people up. You have to be your true self, and only as comfortable as you are with being that person. You don't want to, you know, if you're not comfortable talking about being a teen mom, don't do it, you know? So, you know, don't do it. I wasn't at first. And then when I started talking about it, I realized, oh, wait, I'm not the only person with a crazy family and who has issues. Because it was embarrassing, you know? You, there's more people that can touch, that can identify with those real issues as comfortable as you are talking about them than not.
I mean, everyone said everything. It's 100%. It's just about evoking emotion. That's it. Make them feel some type of way. It's the same reason artists are successful. They give you a turn-up song for the club. You'd love it. Oh, hell yeah. But then they give you an emotional song about a breakup and all you connect to it. It's just about how they make you feel. Same thing. I mean, that's for podcasting. It's for radio. It's for anything. How are you going to make someone feel? It goes back to earlier, creating an experience for somebody. That experience could be good or bad, but they're going to remember it. Mm-hmm. And they've got to care to remember. If they don't care, they're not going to give a damn.
And the reason why I said that nice, I got to be honest with you, I can't stand when somebody says that. When they, oh, my God, she's so nice. I'm like, no, wait, give me more than that. I mean, everybody says that, right? You know, I'm like, I want more than that. I think I've said.
And?
Yeah, I'm like, give me nice and something else. But nice, I'm not interested in that. And I don't find nice to be engaging on the radio for me, right? So let's talk about that real quick about podcasting radio. And if you have a team, let's say you want to get a team together for a morning show. Do you believe how many stars should be on that show? Or is it just you? Or what do you think?
I love this question because I immediately thought about some successful television shows. I'm glad you brought the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air up. Sex and the City, right? That's back on HBO, or I don't remember where it is. And there's only one star, but every single person on those shows had something that you could connect with. Seinfeld. I don't watch Seinfeld. My husband loves Seinfeld. So he's like, think about Seinfeld. Everybody on that show mattered. The more stars, the more grand, the better your show is. I've always been a believer in surrounding myself with people that are smart, interesting, that speak their mind, that are funny. I don't want to be the craziest person in the room. I just don't. And you're talking about people talking, you know, you're nice. Nobody ever says I'm nice. Always like, oh my God, you're such a man hater. I'm not a man hater. I just speak from a woman's point of view, and that makes me so angry. And people aren't used to that. They're used to just hearing a man's point of view, and a man ends the combo, and the man says what he wants to say. And so I've got my two men in there with me, my husband, and it's going to be about three that are going to be able to put me in my place because that's just not going to happen.
Dana, can you clear up your two men?
Okay, my husband and our best friend. Yeah, no, not like that. Yeah, see, that's a great bit. No, my husband, Dana. DJ Automatic, who, by the way, never backs down, and our best friend, who is single and running the streets, and he's on a semen retention. He's on a semen retention journey right now. We're talking about that. But it really is about not thinking about it in a star way. It's about in a way that's going to connect with everybody. Your story is going to connect. Dee Dee is a star. I feel like I said, Automatic name the show. I hate saying that because I'm not that person, right? I just told you. But there's got to be that center, and everybody around that's orbiting has got to pull their own weight as well. They have to.
I don't think there's such a thing as having too big of a cast. I'd love to have more people if we could. I just think the main thing is about character development. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to what she's saying. There's a million characters on Sex and the City, but you knew Miranda was that one, or you knew this was that. You just know who's
who. How you know who Miranda is?
I'm watching. Come on. Our audience is women. I know. And so I think that's the biggest thing is character development and just making sure that when people tune in, they know Nicasio on Tino's show is that asshole. I can't stand him. What's he going to say about women now? Or, oh, man, Serena's such a strong, independent woman. She kills it. She's so next level and puts him in his place or whatever it may be. You can have as many people as you want as long as it's clear and it doesn't just sound like a messy, you know, Thanksgiving dinner with a whole family yelling over each other.
All right. Real quick, anybody have a question? If you have a question, there's the mic right there. Stand up and ask that question.
So my background is I was a print journalist, and I was on air as a journalist, not radio, but on camera. And for years, a decade, make a podcast. And it didn't interest me because I was like, I didn't understand this world. I'm not even that passionate about one. Because, you know, as a journalist, you're always interviewing people. You always have your beat, you're going. So my question is, if you want to get into radio, which I love, and I think it's so interesting. I always had a radio show in my teens. If you're like, I don't want a podcast, I'd like to be talent, what is the one thing you would strategically start doing? Would you, like, how do you do it? And you're not a college graduate, so you're not going to go intern. No radio shows like, come intern for me at this age, you know?
The first thing you got to do is apply. I did not go to college either. I'm not a college graduate. I'm not formally educated. I self-educate on a daily basis. I believe that is a thing. I really do. I think that you should apply, number one. And you just said interviewing people. That is a podcast in itself. That is a radio show in itself. You could be the correspondent on a street. The first thing I thought is, oh, I could use you to go ask people who is, you know, the name anybody, you know, who is Kamala Harris? There'll probably be 10 people that don't know. You know, that's a funny radio bit to send you on the streets and ask people questions. And one out of 10 will be wrong, and that's the one you put on the radio. That's the funny bit right there. So go apply and shoot your shot. That's number one.
I think the win right now, too, is that, you know, the radio industry is looking for talent. They actually want people that are interested. So if you're actually interested, it could literally be finding out who the contact is. And everyone's sending emails. I mean, you could reach out on social. Do a quick little video. about a minute long. Hey, this is me. This is why I'm interested in it. I might not know this, that, and the other, but I want to do it. Right now, the interest, I think, is the biggest thing because we want people that actually care and want to come in and try and be impactful. And so by you even just reaching out directly to make that impression, I think could be very beneficial.
Okay.
So create a demo. Does that make sense? So
yeah, totally.
Let's say you want to go to a news talk station and there's a specific one. Study them, listen to them, stream if they're out of your city or whatever it may be, and then give them a segment of what it would sound like with you. Does that make sense?
I'm going to tell you guys something else, too. Here's one that was very interesting. We were on in New Haven, and there was a guy who kept calling in, and he had such a great personality. And guess what we did? Call him all the time. We got his number, and we started calling him. He was just a listener who would call into the radio station all the time. And I really wanted to make him a part of the show, but then he was like, no, I'm a designer, and he went off and did something else. But the point I'm trying to make is, but for a while, he would call in, and he would give us, like, a recap of shows and this and that because he had so much personality, and he was just a listener who would call in. So there's so many different ways. You have a chance, so okay.
One of Bobby Bones' co-hosts, I don't know if you know, was a listener when he was doing radio out here, and she would call. They would do auditions. She came out, did an audition. She didn't win, and they hired someone else, and then when that fell through, they're like, yo, who was that girl? We should call her. She was great. And
see, now so you got a chance. There you go. So just
How
call
long would
the
you
radio
make your
station.
Demo? Excuse me? How long would you make a demo?
Quick. Under a minute and a half, if you could.
Under a minute and a half.
People don't have a lot of time. And by the way, do not get discouraged if you get no response.
Yeah.
Send it again. Show up. Like, send packages.
When I was 18.
Find out who the program director is. Yeah. Yeah. Keyword program director. Yep. And then that's who you want to target.
Or the ops.
Sorry, you know.
No, thank you, guys.
Real quick. When I was 18, the guy I looked up to moved to Austin to work for a station out here. And I was like, oh, my God, that's my end-all, be-all. I didn't care about L.A. or anything. I was like, I looked up to this guy. And he moved out here, and I sent a demo, and the PD sent me a letter front and back, handwritten, as to why I would not make it in radio.
Wow.
And now I do mornings on that station here, and I don't even know his name. I don't even remember that. And so my point is, don't worry about the no's, because the no's just feel you, and it will turn into a positive eventually.
I agree.
Hey, folks, real quick question about, like, this rise in, like, the celebrity-led podcast. What impact do you think that's going to have on traditional radio when it comes to, like, audience share and advertising dollars, or is that just more affecting the podcast world? Like, from someone who's interested in podcasts, is it maybe a sign that, hey, maybe traditional radio is the way to go?
I look at Meghan Markle, who started off with a bang, and then it just fizzled out, and she is the princess of, you know, she's like the end-all, be-all. I think it's just another choice. Will it affect radio? Yes. Radio has more competition than ever. But think about Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Peacock. You have all these apps. They were supposed to make life more simple. And in reality, it hasn't. I'm like, what? Where can I watch Flowers of the Killer Moon? I don't even remember which app. How can I afford? You know, I can't even do it. The best content will always win. And if you have something that's going to drive people to listen, to watch, the advertisers will follow.
The celebrity podcasts are going to work while they're popping. And then once they fade out, that audience is going to fade out. So that's kind of the beautiful thing about the radio side of it, is that you're daily building with an audience. And again, evoking emotion and creating this engagement with them to where they start to. That's why some morning shows that have been on for, you know, 20, 25 years, this audience will follow them. And they grew up with them. And so you're building this fan base outside. You're almost that celebrity in the listener's eyes because they built with you. And so that's why the beautiful thing about radio, if you can come in and build that genuine connection with an audience and establish them as your fans, they're going to follow you to that podcast versus a celebrity that, you know, they're going to get their streams while they're hot, but then that next celebrity comes or whatever, the company just cares about the money, so they'll drop them and just move on to the next one. So it's just, and then like he said too, unless you're getting insane amounts of streams, it doesn't even make sense when on the radio side of things, you can actually get a salary, get endorsements, and build off that.
And Didi knows, Joe Rogan came from radio. That's why he does what he does so well.
And he does it well. Yeah. Real quick, before we go, because I think we're coming to an end, my boss is here who helped put this panel together, Gio Cook. Thank you, Gio. But Gio, I wanted you to say some things real quick before we leave, because you heard what's going on. You have a lot of people want to do podcasts. You have radio. Anything you want to leave everyone with?
Well, I think you guys touched on a lot. I think the number one thing is being authentically yourself. And understanding that even in working with podcasters and TikTokers and others, everyone wants to develop on multiple platforms. That's your goal, to be on every platform you can be on, to push audience from platform to platform, to make money on every platform. And you need to understand, there's some uniquely talented people here on the stage before you today. I love and believe in all of them. I get the pleasure of working with Dee Dee every day. Understand that your personality and your ability to connect with people and your ability to be funny, that translates across every platform, that translates across every radio format. So just focus on being you. They're right. Storytelling is the key. The problem is we get consumed with celebrity, but it's about craft. Put the craft first. Building great breaks, building great shows, developing personalities, developing stories. Everything is a story, right? Whether it's a three-minute song, whether it is a three-hour podcast, whether it is a three-hour movie, it's all storytelling. How are you going to hook and engage the audience along every step of the way, whether it's something of telling the hero's journey in one of your favorite movies, or it's just getting through that break and leaving people with something to think about, something to feel, and most importantly, do next after you finish talking.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I believe, is it 10 o'clock? I think 11, I think we're done. Are we done? Anybody have any other questions? Oh, you do. Come on to the mic real quick. We'll take one more before we.
Thank you so much. Hi, my name is Jillian Minahan. I'm a Berklee College of Music student and an artist manager. I just am curious on any advice you guys have for reaching out to radio, obviously more local radio starting. Just guidance and what really catches your attention I guess that's a question.
Not giving up, right? I think that all of us have been told no. I love Tino's story about his handwritten letter. I still carry a screenshot of an email I got from one of the biggest consultants in the country right now telling me, I don't know if the Latino community will connect with you as a Latina woman, and telling me a lot of other things here. And so I still keep that. Try over and over and over and don't quit. I'm not good at sports, but there was some quarterback that did the same thing, right? I don't know who it was, but he kept reaching out and he ends up being, I think he's in the NFL now. I don't know. See, that's a sports report from Dana Cortez. That's a running bit. Just keep trying over and over, whether it's NPR, whether it's jazz, whether it's hip hop, whatever kind of radio you're trying to do. The program director is the connection. And your drive and will, hopefully, will be the thing that brings you in.
And some stations have music directors. There's consultants, too. Literally, if you go to almost any radio station website, chances are on the contact page, there'll be a music director or a promotion director at the least or something. I would always, if I couldn't find a program director to like send my demo, I'd find some contact on there and just send it to them and say, hey, I'm trying to get in touch with the program director. Can you point me in the right direction? I think it's just about just reaching out to anybody that will hear you, and hopefully they can point you in the right direction.
As somebody who speaks to music managers and promoters and just like yourself every single day, establish a relationship before you try to shove the music down their throat, because that's the worst thing is like when somebody sends me, hey, this is my artist, listen to this right now. And they're like, I don't have anything else going on. And like, I didn't have 30 other people that day do the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. The thing is, establish a relationship with that person. Anyway, figure out, look at their social media. Give them something to talk about besides music. And then from there, try. That's what's worked with me, at least.
And you're saying, thank you. Like an artist, you manage a band.
Yes.
Because
yes,
let me ask Gio real quick, what would you do? Because let me tell you what I would do. Let me tell you the kind of stuff I would do if I were you. I would go to the radio station, I'd bring my band and everybody, and we'd do it live in the lobby. I would just like bombard them with the music right there. I'd invite them to an artist showcase. I'd do everything I effing could to get their attention. That's just would be me. What would you do, Gio?
Well, I think you need to be aware that we're into metrics and everything, and we're into artistry. The thing that really bothers me about the business is now we seem to put the algorithm ahead of artistry, because some artists like SZA, Mary J. Blige, you will not find through an algorithm. But it's important to touch people, to get in front of people. It's important to get in front of people like myself or him or Dee Dee or any one of them in unique ways, stand out, form that bond. But you have to produce. You need to be on social. We need to see your content, whether it's what's happening in the background or whether it's your live performances, because you're asking us to believe in you and take a chance on playing your artists, mm-hmm. and we have stations and shows that make millions of dollars. So mm-hmm. you're asking us to invest in you. Will it benefit us to support mm-hmm. you? Mm-hmm. So you've got to make sure that you're doing the things that will connect to the audience and connect to the people you do business with.
Thank you.
Hope we answered that.
Yeah, all right, y'all. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much for coming. Thank you. And thank you again to listen. The panel, thank you.